The special favor of Allah, Holy Allah. The universe is the body and its soul, Holy Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome back to our program Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. And in this beautiful program, Alhamdulillah, as you know, the outlay of the program is that we talk about a very beautiful personality and we tend to learn from their beautiful lives. And today, Alhamdulillah, I've got an amazing personality for you. And this amazing personality is one of the greatest companions of our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I'll tell you the name later on of this personality. But before, inshallah, as always, as you know, we start the program with a beautiful kalam. But if you are joining us from wherever you are in the world, in America, North America, South America, in Europe, in South Africa, or any African country, Asia, wherever you are, you're watching on YouTube or you're watching on satellite, I welcome you to this program. Alhamdulillah, this is your program, and this is where, Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, we tend to learn a lot of beautiful things. That's why we talk about a famous personality so that we can learn from their lives. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, my companions are like stars, follow any one of them and you'll be guided. Very beautiful, famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And today we're lucky that inshallah azza wa jal, we are going to talk about a sahabi. Normally, alhamdulillah, we do talk about a famous personality, be a man or a woman, a wali, a sahabi, or a prophet of Allah, where we can learn things from them. And according to this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, follow any of my companions, you'll be guided. So today, inshallah, we're going to talk about a very famous and a beautiful young sahabi, young companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And inshallah, we'll see what we can learn from their beautiful life, and inshallah azawajal, try to implement that in our lives so that we can better ourselves as Muslims. And none other than the Sahaba that we can learn how our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to dress up, how he used to walk, how he used to talk, how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would behave in normal life, and how our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and some of the Sahaba ikram alayhim ridwan that stayed with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam all their lives. And subhanallah, what a beautiful, you know, time. They wake up and they see the beautiful face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They spend time with him, they sit with him, they eat with him, and they sit and learn with him, subhanallah. So inshallah, we're going to get the opportunity to learn from Suhaib Rumi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, a great personality. If you haven't heard of Sayyiduna Suhaib Rumi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, I'll tell you who he is and what type of personality he was. But before we say or we do anything, inshallah, we'll go towards the kalam for today. And inshallah, after the kalam, we'll come back straight into our topic, inshallah. So let's listen to the beautiful kalam. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Kar de karam khuda,
kar de karam khudaya,
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم. ماشاء اللہ عزوجل, ویری بیوٹیفل اینڈ سوزنگ کلام بائی محمود بتاری. ماشاء اللہ, بیوٹیفل کلام, سبحان اللہ. میری اسلام برادرز اینڈ ویورز آف مدنی چینل, یو آر واچنگ یسٹرڈے ٹوڈے ٹمارو. الحمد للہ عزوجل, وی ٹاکنگ اباؤٹ اے ویری بیوٹیفل اینڈ اے فیمس پرسنالٹی. اینڈ دس فیمس پرسنالٹی, when the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam made the announcement for migration, and he was one of the muhajireen who lived in Makkah at the time. And when the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam set out to migrate, Sayyiduna Suhaib Rumi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu also migrated. And it says that Sayyiduna Suhaib Rumi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was about to migrate, people were running after him, they were chasing him, and that was what the situation was. Now just imagine living at a time where your enemies will be chasing you and they'll be stopping you. They would stop any one of them, and ma'azallah, they would kill them on the way if they were found alone or they were with their families. Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that he also was a fighter, and he was he bow and arrow, he was an expert in that. And as the kuffar started to chase him, the Blessed Companion radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he got off his horse and he said, after taking an arrow in his quiver, that I can throw arrows better than you. Now, if you want to die, if you want to kill yourself, then by all means come and fight me. And if I run out of arrows, then you're going to fight with my sword. Either let me go and everything that I own, I will tell you where it is and you can find that and you can keep it. I will have nothing with that. Oh, let me know. If you want to fight me, fine, I'll fight you. But if you want to let me go and take everything that I have, then you can do that as well. Now, some of the Sahaba-i-Kiram, obviously, can you imagine migrating from one place to another and then not knowing if we're ever going to come back? And then, like some other Sahaba-i-Kiram, alayhi muridwan, they left everything. They left everything in Makkah and they said, labbaik, in the call of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he made the offer, it says that when he reached Madinatul Munawwara and he met with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled, embraced him, and he says, Abu Yahya has done a very profitable business. Abu Yahya has done a very profitable business. Now this was in مسند حارث حدیث نمبر 679. یعنی our Prophet صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم was so pleased and impressed with سیدنا صہیب رومی رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ. Now you might be asking that why is he called Rumi, صہیب رومی. Now the king of Iran made either, there's different narrations, they either made his father or his uncle the king of a place called Ubula, a city near Basra in Iraq, and his house was in a town on the bank of Euphrates river near Mosul. Mosul is a town in Iraq. So he says that Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu originally belonged to Iraq, and he belonged to the in Mosul. And one day the Romans attacked the area and they killed many people and they took many as prisoners. And Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu was very young at that time, and he was also taken as a prisoner. A person from the tribe Banu Kalb, he bought him from the Romans, and he took, he was in Marom, and he was being sold in different markets. And a person from the tribe of Banu Kalb, he bought Sayyidina Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he brought him back to Makkah, and then he sold him on to a person, and later on he gained freedom. And according to some narrations, when he radiallahu ta'ala anhu grew up, he fled to Makkah from Syria. And in the beginning, he radiallahu ta'ala anhu stayed in Makkah and started doing business, by which Allah Azza wa Jal granted him a lot of success. So Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a very great businessman as well. And the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he would embrace Sayyidina Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu at that time. More than 30 fortunate people had embraced Islam. So he was one of the early people who accepted Islam. You know, the 30 people had already embraced Islam, and one of them was Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. There's a few hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentioning the high caliber and status of Sayyidina Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In Musnad al-Firdaus, it's mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said that the one who will be given water first at the pond of river Kawthar will be Suhaib Rumi. The one who will be given water at the river Kawthar, the first one will be Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Another hadith in Al-Mustadrak, it says that you love Suhaib as a mother loves her child. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is now educating his sahaba, loves Suhaib like a mother loves her child. So you can imagine from this how Sayyidina Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu was loved and cherished by the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. Now obviously, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, we will never be able to understand the sahaba ikram, their lives, their courage, their strength, and their, subhanallah, love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know how the sahaba ikram, sometimes when you read the stories of the sahaba, you're gobsmacked. How did these people come, do this? How did they go through such difficulty, yet alhamdulillah stayed strong and steadfast on Islam? Another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Suhaib Rumi was bestowed with two houses and one room. Subhanallah. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu was dark, red complexioned, with thick hair and a height little bit less than medium. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu was generous and soft hearted. Now that is very important. You know, in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions about the Sahaba Ikram, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. The Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan, they were so merciful to one another. They were so, you know, yes, we do find Sahaba Ikram had differences of opinion, but the Sahaba Ikram, loving in nature, they were very, very, you know, it's astaghfirullah. Sometimes it is the people who give you, you know, the feedback, and, you know, those people that you really trust sometimes put you into trouble. But the Sahaba Ikram, alhamdulillah, the love that they had with one another, you can imagine from this story when in a battle, one Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu was about to die, and he shouted, halatash, halatash, I need water, water. And this Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu came running to him and gave him water. And then as soon as he was about to drink the water, He heard another Sahabi, Hal Atash, Hal Atash. And he goes to him, no, give water to my brother first. So that Sahabi ran towards the other Sahabi. As soon as he reached there, he heard another Sahabi call out for water. And he says, no, don't give it to me, give it to my brother. So this Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, from one person to the second to the third. And as he reached to the last person, he passed away. He came running to the other one, he passed away. He ran into the other one, he passed away. These Sahaba Ikram alayhimur ridwan, they would feel more at ease, more better to give, you know, preference to their brothers than anyone else as well. And this is, my dear Islam brothers, the beauty of Islam. Remember what Islam is, what the message of Islam is. As Muslims, alhamdulillah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the ahadith, the Quran mentions, innamal mu'minuna ikhwa. Indeed, Muslims are brothers, we are all brothers. Alhamdulillah, brothers in Islam. No matter if I know someone, no matter if that person is from my tribe, my area, my village, my country, it doesn't matter. As Muslims, alhamdulillah, we are all one. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives an example of a body. This is how this Muslim ummah should be like. This ummah should be like a body. And alhamdulillah, azza wa jalla, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the Sahaba ikram, this one ummah, made the Sahaba ikram love one another. And that's why, you know, one of the most important parts of history is that when the Muhajireen went to Madinatul Munawwara and the Ansar, the Sahaba, they were given their name Ansar. Why? Because Ansar means helpers. And they went out of their way to help the Sahaba ikram who went from Makkah. You know, some of them gave their homes. You know, they had two houses, they'll give one to their brother. Who does this nowadays? They had one plot of land, they'll give, you know, they'll probably divide that and give half to them. Who does that? One Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu had two wives, divorced one of them. So after the iddat is, she can marry the other Sahabi. Who does this now? You will never find this in anywhere, alhamdulillah, but in Islam. So as Muslims, we're supposed to be helping one another. We're supposed to make dua for one another and be soft-hearted and helpful to move towards a Muslim. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu would spend his money in the path of Allah Almighty, perform jihad, give plenty of food to people, oppose the nafs, and had great knowledge and status, and obey the commandments of Allah Almighty and the Beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam without delay. Whenever he would find out that this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is the command of Allah azza wa jal, the Sahaba ikram never used to sit back and say, you know what, let this person do it first, let them do it first and I'll do it as well. No, that's why I say you will never ever find anyone like the Sahaba ikram. Their love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their love for the deen of Islam, their love to act upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was just amazing. And at the end he says that he radiallahu ta'ala anhu was not only pious and abstinent, but also good tempered and a man of good character. Every Sahabi, har Sahabi ye Nabi, jannati jannati. Every Sahabi is a qat'i jannati. They are destined to go to paradise. Subhanallah. But their character, you know, if you want to make your character your role model, these Sahaba ikram are the best role models. And Allah Azza wa Jal talks about the role models of Sahaba ikram. Verses of the Quran were revealed on the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many verses were revealed on behalf of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Usman al-Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, Sayyidina Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, many other companions. Why? Because of their good character and their good nature. So number one thing what we learn from them is have a good character, have a wise personality, and have a soft heart. Don't be hard-hearted, you know, always in a mood, always shouting, always not talking. Have a good heart, alhamdulillah, have a smile on your face, talk good to people, be gentle to them, you know, especially your family, your friends, those people that you know, and be, you know, be open with them. Don't hide anything, be open to them. And inshallah as well, you'll see how much Allah Azza wa Jal will love us as well. Inshallah as well, going towards our first clip for today, inshallah Azza wa Jal. And the clip that we're going to listen to is, did you know about the importance of Shahada? Did you know about that? Okay, let's watch this clip and we'll come back inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Dear viewers, do you know the correct meaning of faith? Means saying Shahada, and it is the key to Islam. In Islam, having a strong faith is a big deal. And one of the most crucial things is saying the Shahada. Among the five pillars, this Shahada holds great importance. No one should force you to believe. It's got to come from your heart if you want to be a Muslim. Shahada is like the heart of Islam. When you say it, you are declaring, there is only one God, Allah, and Muhammad is His messenger. The first part means you believe only Allah is worth worshipping. And the second part says that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah. It's like that wrapping up all the messages from the prophets before, starting with Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. And here a question arises that why that Shahada matters a lot. According to Maulana Abdul Mustafa Al-Azmi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, it's not just a ticket to paradise. It's the basic building block of every good deed that leads to paradise. Subhanallah. So dear Islamic brothers, saying Shahada isn't just a normal thing or a small thing. It's like the key that unlocks a whole world of goodness. Remember, this phrase is undoubtedly not only a deed that leads to paradise, but also the essence and foundation of all righteous deeds that lead to paradise.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, a very beautiful, important message regarding Shahada itself. Shahada, yani accepting Islam. Alhamdulillah, Azawajal, many people that have accepted Islam, MashaAllah, Azawajal, are now practicing Islam. And especially in Malawi, where more than 15,000 people have accepted Islam on the hands of the Muballighin of Dawat Islami. May Allah Azawajal preserve them all. May Allah Azawajal guide us all and safeguard our Iman as well. Once Sayyidina Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his eye was aching. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him eating dates. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Suhaib, your eye is hurting and you are eating dates. And he smiled and he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm eating from the other side. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled as well. So that was the love that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had with the Sahaba ikram alayhi muridwan. And that was the love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them. And that's alhamdulillah what the Sahaba ikram learned from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So give love to people, be kind to them, be generous to them. And sometimes, you know, don't always have a mood on, and as they say, don't always have a face on, and you know, you're always in a bad mood and no smiling at all. Smiling does a cost. Smiling is from Allah. So try to smile. And you know, nowadays it looks like people have stopped smiling. Smiling doesn't cost a penny. You don't need to go to have a bank loan or even spend anything. It's free of charge. And smiling is a charity. If you can't give anything to anyone, you can't give him money, you can't give him food, you can't give him anything, just smile. Smiling doesn't cost anything. Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu was one of the weak Muslims who endured the tortures and suffering inflicted by the people of Makkah. The unbelievers of Makkah would inflict so much torture on him and beat him that he radiallahu ta'ala anhu would remain unconscious for hours. Astaghfirullah. You know, can you imagine living at a time where majority people are disbelievers and they're all enemies, they're all after you, they're looking for ways or opportunities to attack you, they're looking for opportunities to bring you down, they're looking for opportunities how they can ma'azallah downgrade and you know to downgrade the religion of Islam. But subhanallah, this beautiful deen is what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us. Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us with deen. You know, the last verse of the Holy Quran, وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ. From this verse, alhamdulillah, many other verses in the Quran, we find that Islam is the true religion, alhamdulillah. That is why thousands of people are accepting Islam every single year. The fastest growing religion in the world is Islam. And inshallah, Azza wa Jal, Islam will be dominant around the world. Inshallah, Azza wa Jal. Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu would remain awake and worship Allah Azza wa Jal much part of the night. Once his wife talked to him about it, and he radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, undoubtedly Allah Almighty has made the night for rest, but not for me. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu further said, undoubtedly when Suhaib talks about paradise, his yearning rises, and when he recalls about hell, he loses his sleep. This was in Tafsir Ibn Kathir. Now, he loses his sleep. That's how much worried he is about, you know, he's about the fire of hell. You know, let's look at ourselves, you know, let's be honest to ourselves. When we miss our salah, do we feel anything? You know, do we feel anything? Yara, I've just missed my namaz. I've just missed my salah. I couldn't wake up for Fajr salah. I've missed my zuhr. I've been asr, my maghrib, my isha. I've been busy at work, but I've never concentrated on my salah and I missed it. Have we ever thought of that? Have we ever thought of this as well, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel? As Muslims, are we not going to be answerable to Allah Azza wa Jalla on the Day of Judgment? And were we loyal to Allah Azza wa Jalla? You know, sometimes we talk about loyal friendship. You know, my friend is good, I need to be loyal to him. I can't cheat on him, I can't do anything against him. Are we loyal and true to our Rabb Azza wa Jalla, the Creator, who gave us life, who created this world, who created the universe, who gave us the mouth, the tongue to speak, who gave us a beautiful, healthy body, who gave us Iman, the most precious thing that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us. Have we ever thanked him? If we haven't, you know, by thanking, you might be saying, yeah, I thank him every day. But do you thank him the way you should be thanking him? And do you fear Allah Azza wa Jalla the way you should fear Allah Azza wa Jalla? Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatihi. O believers, fear Allah the way he should be feared. We should fear Allah Azza wa Jalla. When we miss our Fajr Salah, when we miss our Salah, when we don't read the Quran, been days and days and days that we haven't even opened the Quran. Are we not scared from the wrath of Allah? Are we not scared that what if Allah Azza wa Jal asks me on the Day of Judgment, what am I going to reply? Because on the Day of Judgment, the first question that will be asked is about Salah. So many people are heedless, so many people are negligent to Salah because we think, oh, theeka yara, I'll read it later on. You know, when I get old, I'll read my namaz. When I get old, I go to the masjid. That should not be the case. Do you know that you'll get old? One of the scholars I mentioned, Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatuhu Mulaliya, in his bayan, beautiful bayan, and one of the, you know, important message that I learned was, today you can walk it to the masjid. Walk it today before you are carried to the masjid. What does that mean? You can walk to the masjid today, tomorrow you'll be carried. You'll be carried in a with a janazah and taken to the masjid. Today you don't want to go to the masjid, don't get time. Tomorrow when you die, they'll take you to the masjid. And that time is a very, very sad time when people have to carry you to the masjid. Bahlul Dana, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he was a majzoob. A majzoob is someone who is lost in the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. One day he was sitting in the masjid and Harun Rashid, the Khalifa, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he asked him, oh Bahlul, what are you doing here? And he says, I'm trying to is sula between Allah and his people. You know, I'm trying to mediate between Allah and the people. And he says, so what happened? He says, Allah is willing to forgive them, but the people are not ready. The people don't. You know, Allah sula karna chata hai, but the people don't. And then one day he saw Bahlul Dana in the graveyard. And again, Harun Rashid says, Bahlul, what are you doing here? And he goes, I am trying to be mediator between Allah and his people. And he goes, so what's the result? He says, people are ready, but Allah is not forgiving them today. Whilst you are alive, this life is a time where you can reflect on yourself. This is a time, this dunya is darul amal. Darul jaza will be the hereafter. Darul Amal is where you do your actions. Darul Amal is where you look at yourself as a Muslim. Who am I? 10 years ago, I didn't know how to read the Quran. 10 years later, am I still the same? Yes, 10 years ago, I used to work in a factory. Now I'm the manager of that factory. Yeah, I've done, you know, in worldly possessions, I've gone. I've climbed the ladder. In the religious, what have you done? You know, you couldn't even read Kul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun. We were in a Madani Kafira. We had a doctor with us, you know. I'm not going to tell you the name. That doctor, he was struggling genuinely. He goes, I'm struggling to learn Kul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun. He couldn't learn it. We had the whole day on the Madani Kafira and he was struggling. And then you have little kids, mashallah. You know, if you have passion, you have elders or buzurg who have learned the Quran, the buzurg who have finished the Quran, and alhamdulillah, in Dawat Islami's Madani environment, there are old people, mashallah, who have finished their Dars-e-Nizami. They become alim-e-deen, scholars of deen. And Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu would continue to attain the blessings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He never missed any ghazawat, you know, any expeditions with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu would say, wherever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to go, I would definitely be present there. Whenever anyone would take the oath of allegiance, I would always be part of that as well. Subhanallah. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu further says, whatever army the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent for a battle, I remained with it, and I would be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the battle in which he sallallahu alaihi wasallam would personally participate. If there would be a fear of attack from the front side on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I would cover him from the front. If there was a fear that he would be attacked from behind, I would come and protect him from behind. So Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in others case, you can say that he was one of the guards of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he protected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah. On the occasion of the conquest of Syria, he radiallahu ta'ala anhu went to Syria with Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Subhanallah. And when Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu was severely injured in an attempted murder, he radiallahu ta'ala anhu ordered Sayyidina Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu to take imamat of Masjidun Nabawi. Subhanallah. For 3 days, Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the imam of Masjidun Nabawi. And this responsibility stayed with him until the Khilafat was handed over to Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu was also one of the 4 blessed companions who had the privilege to lower Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu into his blessed grave. And very beautiful life of Sayyidina Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a life that we can really talk about and we can cherish and we can say, Subhanallah, what a beautiful life. Sayyidina Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you know, there's not many hadiths narrated by him. There's about 30 ahadiths that are narrated by Sayyidina Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Sayyidina Imam Muslim in his Sahih Muslim has narrated 3 hadiths that were narrated by, he writes 3 hadiths that were narrated by Sayyidina Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And many Sahaba ikram like Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu have narrated hadith from Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Someone asked him that, Suhaib, where are the other Sahaba? You know, you were the early Sahabi, so you stayed with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for so long during his blessed life. You know, why is it that you haven't narrated many hadiths? And Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that I did not narrate many hadiths because I would fear when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would say that whoever narrates a hadith from me and it is a lie, he will enter into he will find his abode in the fire of hell. Therefore, I will tell you the hadith which my heart has memorized and my ears have saved. So I'm not going to mention anything else. But subhanAllah, that was his taqwa, that he didn't want to say anything that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has not said. So mashallah, great life, a great sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a great personality. Let's take another break and we'll come back and inshallah we'll talk a bit more about Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what else we can learn from his beautiful life. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam.
Dear Islamic brothers and sisters, we offer salah on a daily basis, 5 times a day. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, إِذَا صَلَّى أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيُصَلِّي صَلَاةَ مُوَدِّعٍ صَلَاةَ مَنْ لَا يَظُنُّ أَنَّهُ يَرْجِعُ إِلَيْهَا أَبَدًا. When one of you offers salah, do so like you are a departing person who knows he shall never return to it again. When a person offers salah, he should turn his full attention to worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and leave everything else. Now what goes inside our minds, we all know what we do. When we're offering salah, some of us are calculating business expenses. Some of us are thinking about household chores. Or if we have children, we constantly keep on worrying about them. But what we're not doing is focusing on worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The final Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam utilized the example of a departing person This refers to someone who believes that he shall never be able to offer salah again after his last. Now, if we imagine this, that maybe this prayer is our last prayer, how would that make one of us feel? That would make us terrified. Why? Because two things. Maybe we're not good enough. Maybe we did not do good enough. Maybe we did not offer the prayers properly. Thinking about this, then offering the salah might help us in the Day of Judgment. When such a thought is recalled, one's mind will encourage him to sever the connection with all distractions. It will spur him to concentrate and attain humility, which is the spirit of salah. Dear Islamic brothers and sisters, take this hadith into consideration and offer salah with the ultimate humility possible. Sever all connections with everything and focus when praying salah. This will help us attain good deeds and it will get us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, Azawajal, a very beautiful note to be ending the program with, inshallah. We've got 8 minutes left, inshallah, Azawajal. And subhanAllah, we're learning about the very beautiful life of one of the greatest and the earliest Muslims, Sayyiduna Suhaib Rumi, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyiduna Suhaib Rumi, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. At the year 38 Hijri, he, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, passed away. There are some different narrations. In some narration it says he was 70. Some narrations say he was 73. Some narrations say he was 84 years old when he passed away. His janaza was led by the great Sa'd bin Abi Waqas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the Ashra Mubashra Sahabi. And so, subhanAllah, he was buried in Jannatul Baqi. So subhanAllah, Suhaib Rumi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Look at the life of Suhaib Rumi. Look at the travel. You know, from Basra to Rome, back to Makkah, then to Medina, then lived his life with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What a beautiful life, subhanallah. And this is the beautiful life of these Sahaba ikram alayhim ridwan. And one of the most important things that we learn is the lesson of patience, the lesson of sabr. How we should be having sabr, how we should be patient in any difficulty that comes to us. We should thank Allah azza wa jalla. And we should always praise Allah Azza wa Jalla in every situation. That is why when we make dua, we say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, ala kulli hal. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, ala kulli hal. All praise to Allah Azza wa Jalla in every situation. So whatever our situation is, sometimes you feel a bit low, sometimes you feel a bit bad. Sometimes you feel lonely. Sometimes you feel under pressure. Sometimes you feel everyone's against you. Sometimes you feel that there's no one there to help you. But remember, Allah Azza wa Jal is there to help you. And sometimes, these kind of thoughts come into our mind. Why this happened? But remember, everything that happens, inshallah, happens with the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. Sometimes we don't understand. There's a very beautiful message that is going out. That Dawat Islami social media, mashallah, department has created. And that message is about some businessmen. And they're on a ship and they're sailing. And all of a sudden, the water starts to become rough, heavy winds, and the sea becomes really rough. So they all decide that because the ship is heavy, we need to offload some of the stuff on the ship. And therefore, what needs to happen is that we need to offload some of our goods that we are carrying. So some of the businessmen, they were carrying some less load. One of the person had a lot of stock with him. So they said to him that because you have most of it, you need to throw out so much so that we can all be equal. And therefore the load will come off as well. And the businessman, he says, why me? Why do I have to give all the stuff? Why don't we all throw some of it off the shore? So they had a little debate and an argument. And they picked him up and they threw him offload. They offloaded him from the ship and threw all his stuff into the sea as well. And the person now, he was there fighting with the waves. And all of a sudden he thought, that's it, I'm gone. And then he goes unconscious. And all of a sudden, he finds himself laying on a sand. And he realizes that he's on an island. And it's an island, it's a deserted island, there's no one there. And he wakes up and he thanks Allah that, Ya Allah, thank you for saving my life. Now he sees a rabbit. And he catches the rabbit and he slaughters him and he cooks the rabbit and he starts to eat. And then, you know, he got some wood together and he makes himself a house. As he's making a house, he sits down to put light fire, you know, to cook food for later on. As he's cooking the food, the fire spreads rapidly and burns his house down. This person is there crying that my house is burnt down. What am I going to do now? You know, why me? Why me? Am I going to this trouble? And then all of a sudden he sees a ship that is coming towards the island. And this person runs towards the shore and he starts to shout and wave his hands. And the ship stops. And the person, he says that, how did you know that I was in this island? And the people, the sailors, they said, well, we were sailing past this island and we saw smoke coming out from here. So we thought that someone is there trapped and he needs our help. And he says that, he tells his story that I was offloaded, I was thrown over by, you know, some people in that ship. And they said, oh, that ship, it drowned, and all of the people on board, all of them died. And this person now falls into prostration. He says, Ya Allah, thank you. Allah planned it all for him. That ship was about to be drowned, and all the people were about to die. Allah made him offload from the ship. And he saved him, brought him to the island, gave him food, gave him shelter, and then, you know, made his house go on fire so that the smoke can get people and he could be saved. Can you see this beautiful planning? This is exactly what our life is all about as well. This is exactly how our life has been planned. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah, make sure that you put all your effort and all your time in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make it easier for all of us. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive our sins. Until next time, please take care of yourself and keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
The special favor of Allah, Allah. The universe is the body and its soul. Oh, yeah.